Welcome, adventurers, both young and old. If you're looking to find a place where immortal witches, portal-jumping scientists, and adorable baby knights collide, then you're in the right place. A magical adventure unlike any you have experienced before, as World Talkers, an unofficial Evermore fancast, is about to begin. Welcome to another glorious episode of World Talkers, an unofficial Evermore fancast. My name is Chandler. I'm joined here with my two great friends. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hi, my name's Daniel. I'll be reading for the part of co-host number one. I'll be performing a monologue from Shakespeare. I guess I'll just get started.
I'm now waiting for you. No, don't feel like you have to do
that.
To
be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is knowledge to suffer the slings and arrows of, I don't know, Hamlet.
And I am Skylar. I will be auditioning for the editor of this podcast.
Hey, you got it. It's done. You got, got it. Hey.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
No one else wants to do it? Cool. No one else wants to listen to us for hours? Cool. I'm kidding. You want to listen to us for hours, listener. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
I just kissed your ears. Thank you.
As these guys have kind of clued you in, today we're actually going to be talking about an amazing opportunity that we had as the World Talkers podcast to sit in on Evermore Park's audition process. We got to sit in on on the full process. We went to auditions. We were flies on the wall. Skylar and I were there. And also callbacks, which was a fantastic opportunity to see how Evermore Park tries to find their talent and what they are looking for.
Yes, I mean, I guess this will be a pretty interesting podcast because I wasn't a part of it. I wasn't able to be in at the location where things were going on. But I mean, I would love to hear what I can do to prepare to audition for Evermore.
Yeah, and that's kind of why we wanted to share it with you, listener, and also you, Daniel. You actually sent in your kind of resume or your...
At one point, I had like nothing like really well done for it, so my fault. but I mean, like if it is something that I would love to be able to do in the future if Evermore would have me. So I mean, like, hey... What do I got to do to audition for Evermore? What do I got to do?
So actually, Dan, something that I didn't include, which was a mistake on my part, but kind of start, take us from the beginning. You saw the call to audition.
Yeah.
And it was online, correct?
Yes, it certainly was.
And what did you have to include? What did you have to prepare? Kind of take us from the very beginning. Yeah.
At least at the point in time when I had sent my things in, it was, what was it for? Was it for this past one? I don't even remember which round of auditions I had sent my things in for. But it was basically just, hey, send in your headshot. Let us know about yourself, your background, skills you have. Are you able to juggle or do you sing? Do you have these interesting talents that they can use to place you around the park to make you potentially more than just an actor, or if for whatever reason they aren't able to place you as a character, like an actor character, they can maybe just put you in as a musician, walking around the park and providing ambiance for the park. And then in terms of like what you prepare a monologue, and the monologue can really be anything. Like you just are told, hey, prepare a monologue for us.
Do you remember the length of time that monologue had to be?
Oh man, I want to say it was... I want to say it was shorter than 4 minutes. I don't remember the exact time frame, but I think...
Wasn't it something like just like 30 seconds?
Oh, dude, the exact time, I do not recall.
Yeah.
It might have been 30 seconds.
I don't feel like it was just simply from our experience at auditions, because some of the monologues were definitely lengthier than 30 seconds.
Okay, so I just did pull up the call for any auditions.
Oh, hey, yeah.
And it looks like it was prepare a 30 to 60 second monologue.
30 to 60 second monologue,
of a genre of your choice.
Full gaunt.
Yeah, and it was a long time ago, so I do not blame you.
Yeah.
As we were saying, Evermore put out a call on their social media. They said, hey, please fill out the Google form using the link provided. Go ahead and prepare a 30 to 60 second monologue. Cold reads and improvisation.
Yep.
Improvisation requiring movement may also be requested during your audition, so please dress accordingly. So be comfortable. Do dress up. I would recommend dress up a little. I mean, it's an audition, kind of like I don't have much experience in auditions, but I do have experience with job interviews, and that's kind of what I would recommend there.
So, I mean, job, like, dress for the job you want. Show up in your Batman costume. Show up in your, I mean, yeah, dress up how you want to be perceived, I guess.
Yeah, I guess just as we go into this, I have a little bit of auditioning experience. I'm not super in the theater realm, especially not anymore. More so when I was in like high school. I mean, I did plays in high school. I auditioned for those. I've auditioned for a couple of like television movies and just television shows, but nothing ever happened there. And then I, as a younger child, I was in a play at TuaCon in St. George. So that's my limited experience there in regards to what we will be discussing. The different ways that Evermore holds their auditions is kind of a little different from some typical stuff.
Yeah, very, like, from what I've seen, from what I've heard, very atypical.
Yeah, and so kind of continuing with our conversation, Dan.
Yeah.
So you sent in your information, yeah, and
then they didn't get back to me because I wasn't accepted. And that's totally okay, because again, I did not send in good material. I gave them a headshot that I had from high school because I was like, this will work. It'll be okay. No, it wasn't. It wasn't okay. And so I'm like, that's totally fine. I don't hold it against them. You've heard our interview with Bobby Cody, probably. Bobby, I do hold it against you, though. I'm kidding. No, I don't. I love you. Now I'm kissing your ears. It's all good. No worries.
And that may be the case. Just as we kind of get into this, I think for me, this really helped me understand that these people that are trying out, auditioning for these parts in this park, they are trained actors. We have people from many skill sets. We have kind of people who are more musical theater talented and kind of people ranging from high school stuff, from professional works. So it was a very, very interesting to see. We had people from all over. At this audition, just a note, for the sake of this audition, it was 21 years and older. It was the first time that they had done this, restrict that. But typically in the past, they had kind of done it for, you know, anyone above the age of 16, 17, kind of typical working. To explain that, they did say that it was because of their 21 plus parties that very often they are holding. They want to make sure that they are staffed appropriately for those events. And then after they have the 21 plus crowd, then they can kind of fill any spots with the younger crowd as well. So just as we kind of get into that, do be aware this was 21 plus. Not that that changed the content or the accessibility of it. It was just restrictive in that nature.
Yeah, I guess the park really just wanted to know, if we hired you, could we go out drinking?
Yes, but the park was looking for, and all of the people were looking for, good drinking buddies.
Yep.
Or in the very least, just good designated drivers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There you have it.
So, I mean, hey, just put that on your resume. You're a fantastic designated driver. I'm sure they'll love you.
Well, perfect. Let's get into the actual audition part. So like I said, Skylar and I, we got to sit and be flies on the wall. What did you notice just as we started? Take us kind of through what happened, Skylar.
Well, to start off, just kind of typical, like really, I guess, boring stuff or whatever. You would just check in. We just went in, checked in with Evermore's Evermore Park's West Gate, which is not the usual guest entrance. People came in about groups of 15 or so. There could have been a little bit more. And then you would come during your scheduled time, and then they would sit you all by the fairy gardens, considering that you would be, you know, working together. I think they kind of wanted people to converse a little bit and try to get to know each other a bit and get comfortable so that when they get into the audition process, you know, they can just jump right into it and avoid some of that initial awkwardness. And then after that, they invited you to come into the tavern. They held these auditions inside the park itself, in one of the spaces in which you would perform, with multiple people set up so that they could help them grab name tags and pin them on yourself so that the judges could see you and audition and do the thing.
Do the thing.
And I guess in terms of the people that were judging, who did we have there?
Yeah. So it was comprised of Evermore's creative team. I mean, we didn't have anyone from the actual creative shop, but we did have, let's see, for example, we had the showrunner, Bobby Cody, as you mentioned, he was kind of running the entire thing, as would be expected from someone with the title of showrunner. He was running the whole thing, then as kind of quote unquote judges or evaluators, people there, they were set up on the tavern bar. We had Chance Lepre, who's kind of in charge of the gaming. We had Marche, the administrative and casting kind of producer there. And then we also had Christian and Matt, who are in charge of a little bit of marketing, social media, wonderful staff there. And then also Amber in charge of props, as well as Brooke from costuming, as she was kind of, she was joking, saying, "Hey, I'm here, just going to be staring at your bodies. Don't worry about it. I'm just trying to see what you look good in." Because kind of going from, we had everyone there, you know, the whole staff from start to finish to people that you would be working with. We had Tyrell Clement there in charge of character creation and character development, which was incredibly interesting. So we saw a lot of talented actors as well as talented people on the creative team that would actually be kind of scouting you out.
Mm-hmm. There was definitely some people. And as we said, like, it did slightly, because it was held over multiple days, they did slightly change. Some people came in and we kind of, I don't think we got everybody in there, but fantastic crew. And then also the reason why there wasn't really anyone there from the shop, like the prosthetics, I guess, or whatever, is because they, and we'll get into it a bit more, they held a separate audition specifically to go into the prop shop and try on masks and things.
And after you were introduced to these wonderful people, they did introduce them. Bobby Cody, he started the whole thing off just saying, "Hey, the way that Evermore Park does their auditions is unique. And we're going to start you off not doing your monologue individually," but he called five people up, and at the same time, they did their monologue.
Simultaneously.
And just go. And so five people went up. They did their thing. The next group went up. The auditions kind of were done in kind of a little bit of rounds. So this is what I would call round one, the monologue. With your small group, you first did it simultaneously. Then you were instructed to have a conversation with the other people in your group using only parts of your monologue. So actually deconstructing it, Bobby said he wanted to see how well you knew your prepared piece, but also how much you could change it and adapt it to what other people were doing at the time. So very interesting there. And then the last portion of kind of what I would call round one with the monologue was they then were told to throw their lines to something or in a certain situation. They would throw their lines to an imaginary dog or a crocodile that they originally mistook for a dog, a murder happened and you didn't know which one of you committed the murder, etc. Right? Kind of use the prepared lines and really emote into it and explore the space with this creature, this thing that was in front of you.
I think to quote Bobby Cody again, he said they were specifically looking for ways for people to play within the confines but trust their instincts so that they could say, "Hey, these are the bounds that you have. Get as creative with it as you can." I think that was kind of the intent there with that, as well as just having, you know, five people all talking at the same time. Incredibly common. It's going to be way more and ever more because you just have crowds of people like shouting and talking and yelling, and you still have to have a conversation with just this one person while there's 80 other people talking around you.
Honestly. And we'll kind of go over that in after we discuss everything that happened of what we saw and kind of why what we saw that applies to real world Evermore. But yeah, that was something right off the bat that they did that was completely unique. You were just doing your monologue and you were doing your thing with five other people or four other people and all simultaneously. So very interesting there. Next, they took the auditionees through this kind of round two of the potion. They introduced a potion bottle, this empty bottle that they instructed to imagine this potion was filled with imagine this bottle was filled with a potion of transformation, and you were to take a sip and transform into whatever the auditionees chose. Sometimes this round was nonverbal specifically, and sometimes they could speak. But really, the whole thing was to show your improv skills, creativity, and the ability to tell a story. Bobby remarked to us that it was interesting that some people chose a beginning, middle, and end of the story of, hey, the bottle is over there. How am I coming across this bottle? And then I'm also going to partake, and then the after effects. Some people chose just to go up, take a swig, and transform into a bird or, you know, an old person. But others chose to kind of take this and actually make a story of it. I don't necessarily think one is better than the other, just very interesting to see that dynamic play out.
And it kind of helped move into that round three that we have there, which was specifically supposed to be nonverbal. In round three, the auditionees were shown a fantastic example of how this worked with Bobby Cody and Tyrell Clement. It was hilarious. But the whole premise of it was that all without speaking, one person would create an imaginary item. They would give it a length, a width, and like a weight and the whole shape of it. And then after demonstrating all of this information through their actions, they would pass off the item to person number two, who reacts and interprets the function of the item they were shown. So they have to basically present it. They have to create an item that's interesting and presentable in a way that they can hand off to someone. And then that person has to carry it and see what it is, and then also react, gain the context non-verbally from someone else, and then also just see what they could handle it, how they handled the receiving of this item.
Yeah. Tyrell mentioned to us, to kind of quote him, he said that this exercise was to show creativity and improv as you're creating something out of nothing, but also to show and kind of gauge give and take skills of, do you go along with kind of what they have chosen, or did you misinterpret the weight of it and do something else entirely? Very interesting there. So before we kind of go on to the next round, I was curious, kind of with this whole thing, you guys,
yeah,
what would you choose in your potion?
Oh, in my potion?
Yeah. How would you react or to drinking this potion of transformation? You got to choose. But what would you transform into?
That is curious. I guess in terms of the story of like a beginning, middle, and an end, something that I was thinking is like, I think what I would do is I would start it as like, I am, because I'm going to be in this fantasy setting, I'm going to approach the shopkeep. You know, I'm going to like gesture that I'm walking up to a place, I'm reaching into my pocket, pulling out a pouch, handing over some coin, picking out the potion that I want, and like kind of receiving it that way. And then in terms of what exactly the potion would be, man, that's actually obviously like a very difficult thing. Like I recall from some conversation that we had that there were a lot of people that had like potions of courage that made them more brave. And as you mentioned, potions that turn people old and turn people into other things like that. I mean, I guess like the first thing that honestly came to mind was just this very weird thing of, it just made me very slippery. I was a very slippery boy. and like it would just be me fumbling and kind of slipping about as my body has been covered in this oil, because I wouldn't drink it. I would be splashing it over my body, a different sort of like, I'm using this thing in a very different way.
And we saw that. We saw people drink. We saw people kind of lather it on as a salve or lotion.
Yeah.
So very interesting. You could do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Skylar, what about you?
I think personally, I always like to play rogues, so I think I would have been like,
turn invisible.
This is in a lockbox, so I'm gonna first break into it.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Once I get in there, I had the advantage of watching what people were doing, so
sure.
I got to think about it as people were doing it. But I always really like the idea of like a heist thing. Like you're heisting in to get this thing. And then once I got it, I had no idea what I was going to get or like what I would transform into. I just thought like a horse.
Turn into a horse.
It was just the first thing that I kind of thought of. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this potion and this also kind of nonverbal exercise. I mean, the potion was done completely individually. The nonverbal section with the item that you were to be passed on and whatnot, you were kind of paired up, but it was still very much an individual basis. You did your portion, then the next person did theirs.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I really thought that the animal transformations that I saw were very fun, very interesting. Gentlemen drank the potion, transformed into a monkey, leapt all over those tables in the tavern, got up on the tavern bar actually with the judges, kind of played with that space there a lot. So it was very interesting to see.
I mean, and then I guess in terms of the nonverbal like item, the first thing that came to mind is what I would do is I would reach into my back pocket and pull out like a small item, and it would be of honestly kind of negligible weight. It'd be fairly basic. And then I would open it up. This is my wallet that I've pulled out of my back pocket, and I would open up the wallet and I would start pulling out funds, and then I would react as though endless funds. Interesting. And then I would be dumping it out and be like, oh, like I can't collect enough. And then I would be like, hand it off to the next person. It's like, hey, you have some.
Right.
And let that kind of be a part of that story.
Yeah, which is very interesting. You have just created a narrative. Obviously, that's very fun and easy to see when we're discussing it.
Yeah.
But completely something else when it's nonverbal.
Totally.
Right.
Nonverbal.
Like, and maybe they interpreted what you did completely different.
Yeah.
And they dump out, I don't know, from this box that they don't, or this thing that they don't know what it is. Maybe they interpreted it as a, you know, they dumped out an entire tree or axe or something, mm-hmm. and then took that with them. And so a very interesting kind of an interdimensional hole there that they
would not know. And I think it'd be fun to see them reach into the wallet and see what they could find in there and pull fun things very out. Fun. Absolutely. Yeah.
I really didn't know what I would do for mine. I just thought, you know, I would do something of weightiness. I think levels were specifically important. A lot of people did like up high and middle ground stuff. I was like, I would have liked to see more stuff happen down low on the ground, like just, I don't know, pushing something or rolling something.
Yeah.
But that was just, I didn't really think about it. That was just from my observations.
Yeah. And everyone decided to go with something different, and yep. It was great to see everyone's creativity there.
There was still a lot of creativity. I was just thinking about, you know, let's different levels. What can you do on different levels?
Yeah.
So it was very interesting.
It would be very fun to see like, hey, this is my impossibly heavy suitcase. You come over here, help me lift the suitcase. I think that there's a lot of fun with levels.
Yeah. And then also with weightiness as well. Oftentimes it's easy to emote and see weight there, but what about the absence of weight?
Mm-hmm.
It was very fun. Tyrell actually demonstrated this where he plucked something off of a very tall tree. He actually leapt very gracefully and grabbed it and kind of took it with him, but it was very fun to see something without weight, with very little. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which was a great thing there. And just the comedy between Bobby and Tyrell, fantastic.
Yep.
one of the sketches was this. Tyrell grabbed this heavy thing and gave it to the spherical heavy thing, gave it to Bobby. And then Tyrell immediately turned around, kind of hunched over and plugged his ears as if it was going to explode. And then Bobby actually reacted and kind of shoved it back.
He keister stashed the...
he shoved it back to Tyrell, giving him what he deserved there. So
giving him the old what for.
Yes.
It was quite humorous. It was very well done. An excellent example of what people were to follow. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Next, kind of that terminated kind of the audition action phase. For the most part, the next round was kind of more about specifics. On the spot, you were called up if the Evermore team had any specific requests. Maybe they wanted you to do some accent work. Maybe they saw something that they were a little bit confused on and wanted a little bit of clarification, kind of on the spot there. As well as in this time, you were able to showcase or talk about any special talents that you had. Dan, you mentioned that they asked for, or you listed like, hey, if you were good at accents or puppeteering or something, that you were able to put that down, right?
Yeah, it's like, hey, like, am I good at comedy? I'll put down that I'm good at comedy. Am I good at accents? I'll put down that I'm good at accents. Am I really good at giving a good hug? Yeah, I guess I am.
Yeah.
Maybe I wouldn't put that down, though. I don't know.
And in this time, you were able to brag about yourself and kind of talk or showcase. We saw some great things on stage combat, gunslinging, where they were able to kind of perform there. And then also, very interesting, they wanted to know specifically if anyone knew ASL, American Sign Language, and understood deaf culture. So very... some very cool things that kind of hinted at maybe some things that they're looking for, maybe for specific character things or just new features in the park. Very amazing, creative people that we were able to see a lot of awesome.
It was talents. really anything. Puppeteering. Some people had been mermaids before. So they're like, how long can you hold your breath? Like, someone was like, I have a 3D printer. And so they're like, yeah, sure. Like, yeah, anything and everything that you think you could, mm-hmm. you know.
Kind of contribute to not only as an actor but just to the park. Very interesting to kind of take record of all that.
I have minimal hair on my body. I just don't grow a lot of hair. If you can use that, that's a skill I have. Just I'm not a hairy boy. I'm like a step away from alopecia.
And that kind of took care of the round one auditions, kind of the base auditions, right? You were able to perform, show off your stuff, show off your prepared monologue, and really show yourself off. And they said, hey, we'll get back to you in a couple of days. If you're invited to callbacks, we will have those here in the next couple of weeks. Callbacks, just kind of going right into it. Those invited for callbacks, they arrived at their scheduled time again at Evermore Park in the tavern. This one was very interesting to see because it was both the new people that were invited back and also returning actors that already work at Evermore Park. We asked why those existing actors already were invited to callbacks, and they said that even though they already worked there, it would be very interesting to see kind of what new roles and new talents people had developed in this whole time, as well as perhaps reevaluating some people's kind of situation in the park to see if they would be hired back, as it's not guaranteed, but really was all about just seeing if these people could, how they would do in different roles and different situations.
I also think it was a good opportunity to see how they work with in comparison to people that, you know, are new and haven't been working at Evermore. And see, you know, like, hey, how do these new people work with actors who have already worked here? Can you guys pick up on what they're doing? Like, how does that change, you know, interactions within the audition?
And then I would say as well, like, in terms of like, can the people who have worked at Evermore, like, help those who have never done it before? Like, hey, I'm going to be showing you everything that I have done, like, Let me bring you into my world the way which I experience Evermore, and we can play through that energy as well.
Yeah.
So like the fresh, the old, like bringing it all together and making something new and interesting out of it.
As well as teaching those who have been at Evermore. Obviously, no one is perfect, and so what new skills, what new things could they learn from the people that are coming on, even auditioning? Right. So very interesting. Again, we saw that kind of some different rounds took place during this callback process. The first round was the two circle. You were groups of different numbers were to arrange themselves in two circles. The innermost circle comprised of just two people, and the outermost circle just usually around five. Sometimes those numbers did vary, just kind of the situation. But essentially the gist was the inner two were to be given an item. A nondescript, kind of any sort of item. I think it was actually something wrapped in golden paper.
It was a chess piece that was wrapped in some paper. And surprisingly, just as a fun anecdote, no one actually ever opened it and found out what was inside.
It had weight, and they were talking about the gold color and kind of the everything, but no one actually opened the paper to see what was inside. So very interesting. And again, there's not a right or wrong answer, just kind of some interesting things that were pointed out to us just as a, hey, we're noticing everything, right? We do notice if people do open it or not. Very interesting there. So they were given the item, and they were to improv the discussion about the item for a little bit. And then the outer circle we're instructed to pick someone else in the group and to throw their prepared monologue to them. So just to use them as a focus, speak to them, even if they weren't paying attention.
Basically across the two in the middle, having their own new improv scene there.
Yeah. And then at the instruction of Bobby, everyone started simultaneously speaking, doing what they were instructed to do. Absolute mayhem. I think that's actually what comes to mind when thinking of this. It's just chaotic mayhem throughout this whole process.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was definitely that, like, five monologues spoken all at the same time ratcheted up to another level. They totally just were like, all right, we're gonna take this and we're gonna make it even harder, because this is, I would say, this situation is even more true to form about what performing in Evermore would be like.
Because, I mean, at least the way that it sounds is that this was like testing and inner group's ability to communicate with craziness going on outside, the outside's ability to communicate with delicate things happening in between them, and for there to be understanding across there. And then, as well, potentially, a skill that I feel like is used frequently in Evermore is those performing within the circle, quote unquote, being able to listen to and pick out something that somebody says from the crowd and be able to turn and say, ah, this person, what did you just say? That is actually absolutely true. Can speak up for me.
Yeah.
So like it's testing these like three different weird facets there.
And in fact, that was shown to us immediately after after about a minute or so, Bobby at the command of hold, which very important, just side note, anytime you were given an instruction, very important to react very swiftly. We saw some kind of little bit of frustration there when, you know, the conversation continued. So just side note, make sure you're paying attention and following instructions.
Just follow your directors. It's a smart idea.
Yeah. Bobby began asking questions to randomly chosen people there about what they had heard and understand from those around them. So exactly like you said, Dan, testing whether or not the two people inside in the inner circle understood each other. Then he checked to see if those on the outside could hear what was being said in the inside circle. Then he was checked to see if the outside people understood or caught anyone else's monologue on the outer circle.
Very interesting, very interesting.
Yeah, and every time you thought you knew what he was looking for, so like they did this in a series of groups, every time you thought you knew what he was going to ask and what he was looking for, he changed it up.
Yeah, sometimes he would turn to the judges and like, hey judges, do you know what the people on the inside were talking about or doing? And they would either say, yeah, I think they were doing this, or no, I couldn't hear them. The outside group seemed more interesting than the inside group.
Right.
And then they also added in an extra layer of having all the people who were not in this circle. They were just like, hey, you guys should start doing a chant. And then it was like all of that stuff plus the chant going on. And then they would ask afterward, like all those similar questions. And then like, hey, where was everyone's focus? Was it on this group of people or was it over there with the people doing the chant? In some cases, the people doing the chant were much more interesting to watch than this group over here. Really testing that verbal multitasking skill as well as the nonverbal. Can we understand your story if people are chanting over there? Can we still see what you're doing and know what's happening without actually having to see words? Because we know that's a real problem at Evermore. It is an outdoor open space area that, you know, sound can only travel so far. And so people need to be able to understand what's going on just physically from you, as well as in a crowded place like the tavern. Then you're just bombarded with so much sound, you can't hear anything.
Yeah. And Bobby actually pointed out like, hey, this is actually the perfect setting to do this, because every night this is how the tavern is. It's filled with people. There are conversations going across the room. And as an actor, you need to be at least aware of what is going on. So that way, if something important were to happen, you can kind of be caught up and in the know. So you're not completely caught off guard. Right.
As well as like being prepared for if you have a tableau or a scene that needs to happen and someone says your trigger word that you need to get in there, you need to get in there and not be over doing something else.
Yeah.
So
then round two, all of the people that were there were told to spread throughout the tavern and find a small task that they could be kind of absentmindedly doing, apparently in theater talk, that is called a doing.
Mm-hmm. Just something to do, something menial that you can add on to a scene just to make it seem more alive, pantomiming.
Yeah. Pantomiming and carrying on a conversation with those around you. While they were doing this, the Evermore team kind of walked around, were watching people, asking questions of what these people were doing, what their conversations were about, and so on and so forth. And then after a couple minutes, everyone came together and were asked what they saw others doing or who they talked to and kind of what that was all about. And again, Bobby, as he was kind of teaching along with this audition process, he said, in mass confusion, can you create, listen, and remember? And I think that is so essential to what Evermore is. It is mass confusion a lot of the time. But can you create? Can you devote and split your mind into be doing something, being telling a story, and also remember what you were doing and also remember what other people are doing in that mass confusion? So a lot of skills that are kind of incorporating a lot of different parts of your brain and really putting the stress on those, really testing and putting them through the ringer there.
I already know what I would do for my doing.
Yes, please.
So in the Evermore Tavern, the tables that are there have these buckles around like the exterior and so on, and like they've got metal on them because they're made of doors. And I would go about shining, just like with my shirt, shining the little like metal that's there. And I would be carrying on a conversation with the person near me, next to me, about how my father, Daryl Tabler, was the best table maker in all of Evermore. And these are his tables. And so I come here every day to honor his memory as I am his son, Daniel Tabler. A cobbler cobbles, but I table.
That would have been fantastic. Yeah. I would have loved that.
And we saw a lot of people were shining the shields in the tavern on the walls. And
one free labor Evermore. Yeah.
One person was actually trying to get, last episode we talked about the Ever level quests, and there's a sword that Peter was able to get as a reward, and actually one person was trying to kind of get that off the wall, kind of pretending that it was stuck on completely, and he was like trying to pull it, acting as if he were pulling really hard on it. So a lot of different things. Many people were kind of organizing. Some people were, if I remember correctly, trying to find bugs to put in a potion
There was just so much going on. It was chaos, but it was very fun to watch.
Just as that came together, can you create, listen, and remember?
And then kind of a similar approach, the next round three of callbacks, we kind of call it the animals phase, because this time, instead of having, again, I think this was kind of meant to be, you know, somewhat nonverbal to try and get a feel for their body motions, they instructed people to pick any animal they wanted and commit to it as much as you can and act accordingly. And then on the command, mayhem ensued. Birds took flight, lizards snaked and slithered to the ground, and monkeys leapt to the tavern's tables. It was madness.
There were animals of all shapes and sizes, and it was fantastic to see those wonderful, wonderful people embody those characters, or those animals rather, because you saw everything that you can imagine.
Did you see any sea lions? I would have gone for a sea lion.
Oh, I did not. That would have been good.
It would be so fun. Just like climbing up on the table, just kind of flopping about, moving around. Oh, that'd be so much fun.
That would be awesome.
That's a very cool like instruction, just to let it all go wild. So, but what was the purpose there for it?
Yeah. So before we get to the purpose, after a couple minutes of roaming free, he issued the command to freeze, and additional instructions were given. So we saw, as your animal still, you were terrified and had to find shelter or other animals like yourself. So kind of making sure you were aware of other people around you. Or we even saw, hey, you are still your animal, but you are even crazier. And then true mayhem ensued. It was nothing I had ever seen before. And Bobby actually came over to us and was laughing and saying, like, people are around here are going to be like, what is going on in Evermore? Because we had barks and moos and all sorts of animal sounds. It was insane. And then also slow motion. So kind of taking the other side of, hey, you cannot move any faster than slow motion. You are a slow motion animal. And seeing that, it was fantastic.
Yeah, we kind of were chatting with some of the judges there, and they were saying for this specific one, they're looking for commitment to who your animal is, your spatial awareness, and awareness of yourselves and others, such as like when you needed to find animals like you. You can't talk. Sure, you're doing like similar barks or bird noises or whatever, but you still have to find people like you purely non-verbally. It was actually pretty incredible to watch and see.
Now, I'm not going to lie, like my thought is, like if I did audition for Evermore, I would be coming in knee pads and elbow pads, just so I could go whole hog.
And props to those people that came in without those.
Seriously.
Because we saw people slithering during getting their entire wardrobe or their clothes dirty from the floor and just going all out, just everywhere, slithering. And it was fantastic. It was really good.
That is really impressive.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, it's a very, very physical audition. And again, I haven't had a lot of experience, but usually it's just like you walk in, you do a monologue, you perform your song, and you peace out. There was so much physicality in this audition. It was kind of incredible.
Yeah. And that was definitely on purpose. They said, hey, you are in this space. We are in this town of Evermore. You can walk around for the most part. Are you spatially aware of what's going on around you? And so very, very unique in that sense, that you kind of have this playground, this larger playground to actually act in and participate in.
But the next round, round four, I think was probably my favorite round of the whole thing. They called it Instant Expert. It's just so one by one, auditionees would step before the Evermore team and be given a race, such as like an ogre, a fairy, an elf, a goblin, and then they were given a circumstance, such as like where you are, what you do, and then a topic of what you are now an expert of. And then on the command of go, you had a minute or so to be the expert of that field or that area of expertise. Some of that was like, hey, I think my favorite is he was a troll, he was a bartender, and then his area of expertise, he was a certified optometrist. And it was hilarious. It was so good.
You know, it's just like when you have somebody come in to give you an eye exam, you just have them go look at the board, and it's like, all right, go ahead and read it. All of them say, "Hey, I shouldn't have said that." Just take some time. Would you like A or B? A or B? That'd be really fun. That'd be really fun.
It was pretty funny because he was working as a bartender, but he was like an optometrist.
Yeah.
And so he combined those two together and he's like, you see,
these are my beer goggles.
It would have been very funny, but he kind of went with that a little bit more.
He was like, you see, if you, the reason why I work at a bar is because you have your eyes that you see with, right? Like a physical eyes. If you drink alcohol, it dilates the pupils and then it allows you to see more. And so you have the eyes that with which you see and then the eyes with which you feel the universe. And it
was
see the universe.
It was very good because I think as part of this exercise, they're looking, how can you relate it to your character? You don't actually need to be an expert optometrist. It was just, how can you make it seem as if you are the end all be all? Whether you're right or not, you've committed to saying that you're an expert in this.
Right.
I just have so many ideas for that troll, bartender, optometrist. That's super fun.
Yeah, we saw everything from fairies who were just born and they were now an expert on bodies. And it was extremely funny to witness that. And then also there was a fairy, as she was the expert of pottery. And that was her, you know, her situation. We saw everything from a merfolk who would come on land looking for a particular pearl, which was very fun because someone took that and kind of changed it into that it was pearl, a person that they were looking for. So very fun.
Hey, I've lost a pearl. It's very, have you seen this pearl? It is it's the Queen's pearl, and Pearl is the name of her daughter.
I dig that.
So some storytelling there, obviously. And even especially as the people kind of got comfortable, they started telling kind of more of a collaborative story. Very interesting there. And I've heard, again, I have no experience in regular auditions, but I have heard that oftentimes with other auditions, you're kind of one-on-one with the judges. It's very, you're kind of even pitted against the other people that you're auditioning for, because you're obviously trying to go for the same part. But this one, there was a lot of collaboration, clapping and playing with one another, a lot of support for everyone to succeed, which was incredible to witness. While at the same time, obviously, you're trying to bring your own thing and show that you can play with the best of them, right? So very interesting there. Just a lot of improv. And as you were saying, Skylar, they were kind of looking for, obviously, acting ability that you could bring and relate things to your character. But they also wanted to see how well or how quickly you could get a laugh or a reaction from the crowd.
How fast could you get people invested? If you're sad, how are people actually, like, you know, focused in on you, or are they kind of just, you know, not paying attention?
Right. And that was kind of yes, obviously you had to be the expert of your field. Some actually took that and said, like, well, I am a merfolk that's totally 100% the expert of street clothing. And this person misinterpreted what a shirt or a pant was. That they're not called pants, because that's two, but it is one pant. And you wear only one pant, but you do have inner pant, and then you have outer pant.
It was very funny. In terms of how it went, I think some of my favorites were the ones that were like from The Little Mermaid. Yeah, this is a thingamajig, and this is what it does. And yeah. You're like, that's the humor is that it's not, but there's kind of a semi-hilarity of basis of reality.
Yeah, and so we saw things from both ends of actually an expert in that thing and a supposed expert, which was fantastic to witness, because you see that all the time in the park. Just as you are talking to a character, you're like, hey, do you know what this thing is? And they're like, of course I know what a fey box is. Here, let me see that. I don't know what this thing is, actually. We see that very frequently in Evermore there. But yeah, that was, and then they thanked everyone, said, hey, we will be deliberating. We'll let you know if you do end up actually getting a part here. And then they ended the callbacks. One part of the audition process that we were not able to see was, Skylar, you referenced this.
Yes.
Was the monster or creative studio section.
Yeah, they more so just explained this to us. Just a couple of the judges, they were like, hey, now that we've like seen how they moved, we're just going to have people come back into the creature shop, see what prosthetics and costumes that they kind of already fit, so that they can recycle them into new characters, or just see, like, especially with the masks, I think they were like, hey, can you wear this mask and not be claustrophobic, because it covers your entire head. And I think it was just very interesting in that regard, just to see how well people can work with prosthetics and puppeteering shop stuff and things. Yeah. So it was, I guess, kind of an audition and more like a fitting, yeah. I think. So, yeah.
But just kind of as we were talking about it and listening, in reality, kind of now that you know the entire process, they did let us know that the Evermore audition process may change. It may not always be always in that format. And in fact, they said, hey, like, if people kind of start coming prepared, we'll just switch it up on them anyway, because we can do that, right? They're wanting to see how you react to situations that you're not always prepared for. And while we were kind of talking to them, they spoke again and again on certain aspects that they are looking for their potential new cast members, which, just really quickly, that we heard repeatedly, committing to the bit, right? Commitment, teamwork, creativity, improv skills, focus, taking direction, and also trusting yourself and those that you're working with, kind of playing within the space, but not going overboard while still helping everyone shine and look good, because that really is what Evermore does and should do, is everyone should be doing their best while raising the talents of those around them. And when that happens, everyone looks good, right? So again, commitment, teamwork, creativity, improv, focus, taking direction, and trusting yourself and those around you. And that's kind of what I heard mainly.
I mean, there's obviously a wide variety of things that they're going to be looking for, especially stuff that, like, we don't know about what's coming in the future stories. They may be looking for specific skills, people who know combat, people who can sing really well. I don't know. But yeah, I'd say that generally overall, those are just good things to look for in general anyway, and what they were focusing on.
Yeah. Kind of as we were talking with the judges, the team, as well as Bobby Cody, he let us know that Evermore wants to hire quality actors of all backgrounds. They're looking for anyone out there speaking different languages, different backgrounds, races, life situations, because you bring in something unique, and also with different skills that they are looking to, with the aim to retain, is what he said. There. If they can get great actors, the characters they portray may change, and that's totally fine. We've seen that in the past, but they want to keep the actors around that know what they're doing and have these qualities in them already, or can be trained and strengthen those qualities there. In my opinion, and kind of just as I was wrapping up and I kind of wrote a little summary there, they know what they want, but they also have the ability to work with what they're given. You may not be perfect at all of these challenges and all of these things, but if they can see that, at least they can work with you and strengthen those weaknesses that you do have. Honestly, they're looking for you, which is something that every business out there should be doing, right? Working with what they have and knowing what they want, but working and strengthening there. We were, like I said before, we were really able to see aspects of things they wanted from their potential hires based on our experiences in Evermore. Skylar and I kept kind of whispering to one another of, oh yeah, I can totally see why this is there. The tavern is crazy all the time, and you do need to be aware of what's going on.
You do need to be able to see from forever far away in order to understand what's going on, because you can't hear.
Yeah.
You can't hear what some of the actors are saying sometimes. But yet I thought back and I was like, wow, I realized that I have seen how I come to understand things, because it's a lot of it's nonverbal. It's just, I can tell through their body actions. And as always, amazing, amazing kudos and props to the actors. You all do such a wonderful job, and it's such a delight to be able to watch and see you. It was a great delight to be able to see all those auditioning. They all did fantastic and wonderful. I mean, certainly better than anything that I could do, I think. Like,
by far. Honestly, though, I was so impressed. Even if those, you know, if they didn't get invited back to callbacks or they didn't get cast, still amazing work done by everyone. Wonderful to see. If you saw us there and you were like, who are those weirdos? Why are they just sitting there whispering to one another? This is why. And I reached out to some of you that were ultimately cast and wanted to say congratulations and explain a little bit about what we saw. A lot of you have many strengths and many skills that we're excited to see, even if you weren't cast this time. Hopefully you try again. And honestly, we look forward to seeing what you bring to Evermore Park in the future.
And you know, with Evermore, who knows what, like you were saying, what they're going to look for in the future. So, I mean, I guess I would just say, hey, Evermore, if you're looking to cast, I don't know, a weird trio of like goblin podcasters, like just to kind of hang out somewhere and record over the course of the night. I mean, you got us.
Also, what I'm saying is like, hey, if you need someone just like to record and review your food, I don't know, like, hey, it's
pretty. I will eat all of your food.
Let me be your ogre taste tester.
I am an expert in all things sweet.
Before this food goes out to everybody tonight, I need to make sure that it's all up to par.
I'd like to recommend adding in more dirt. There's not enough dirt in the food. Well,
you need some more rocks.
I need to make sure that there's enough. I mean, no poison in these at all. No poison.
I think you've misunderstood the idea of a poutine.
And there you have it. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was a delight to be able to see all of those wonderful up-and-coming actors that may be cast in Nevermore. And hopefully we see everyone out, whether you got cast or not, we see you there at the park, especially as it does when it opens up again after the craziness of what's going on. We hope really to see everyone out there supporting.
Thank you so much, Evermore, for all the amazing opportunities that you provide us. And thank you for listening to our podcast. It's always a delight to have you come and listen to random stuff that we have to talk about, like ogres being taste testers.
You can follow the park at evermore.com, as well as on social media with our handles at Evermore Park and at Evermore Creative Studio.
You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram with our handle at World Talkers.
Please feel free to call in and leave a message at 801-332-9321. We'd love to hear whatever you have to say.
And if you have any additional questions on the audition process or leaving a comment of your experience actually auditioning, feel free to email us at worldtalkers.podcast@gmail.com.
That's also a great place to reach out to us if you would like to let me know that you want to take my headshot for free. Also, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or pretty much anywhere where you can leave a review for podcasts. Every review helps get us visibility and hopefully bring more attention to Evermore Park, a place we love very, very much.
And thank you so much to Aileen. Thank you for being an amazing executive producer and helping us get this content out there so that people can listen and enjoy.
So you've heard our audition tapes. We hope that you will continue to find joy and audition in the future for Evermore Park. If not, that's okay. But we will be seeing you
beyond the portal.